Remember from last week, Jesus told parables designed to tease the mind into insight. The closest literary form we have to the parables of Jesus is not a metaphor or a simile, but a riddle. Jesus' parables are mysterious in the sense that they're difficult to understand, or perhaps more accurately, difficult to accept. They challenge us to look into the hidden aspects of our own values, our own lives, and they bring to the surface unasked questions. They reveal the answers that we've always known but refused to acknowledge. Our reaction to Jesus' parable should be one of resistance rather than acceptance. So if we hear a parable and we think, boy, I really like that one, or worse, fail to take any challenge, we're probably not listening well enough. So let's listen carefully. The kingdom of heaven, the way that God intends life to be, is like a farmer who sowed good seed in his field. Well, that's pretty clear, isn't it? God is the farmer who plants good seed. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. This parable is Jesus' answer to the question of the problem of good and evil. If God is good, why is there evil in the world? William Barclay teaches that in Jesus' day, if your neighbor didn't do what you wanted, you might threaten to put weed seed in his field. Sometimes it was actually done. And Roman law outlined what the punishment would be if you did it. But while it was known to be done, it wasn't common to carry out that threat against your neighbor to put weeds in his field. But the presence of evil and suffering in and amongst the good in Jesus' day was common, just like it's common today. And when did it get planted? When everyone was asleep. It seems to me that this is the first lesson of the parable. When you and I are not paying attention, evil weeds get planted. It happens even in our closest relationships. Schedules and work keep us from connecting with our spouse and our children. And then one day, we look around and realize it's too late. Signs of trouble have been missed. Devastating choices have been made. We hadn't noticed the weeds growing in and amongst the wheat, and now they've taken root. And it's easy to not notice the weeds growing in and amongst the wheat, because the young plants, they look pretty much the same. Now, the crowd that was gathered there at the seashore would have known exactly what Jesus meant. We call it bearded darnel. Well, people who know anything about plants call it bearded darnel. Early on, bearded darnel is almost impossible to tell the difference from wheat. It looks the same. It's only when it puts on grain that you can tell the difference. The seeds are sort of the same size and the same shape. The leaves are the same size and shape. They grow the same height at the same rate. They are almost exactly the same. Except for the weeds, the bearded darnel, their seeds are a little bit of a slate gray color. And so really the only way you can tell the difference in the two is after you have cut it down and threshed it, and you have it there in a big screen, and people sit at the screen and pick out the darnel. Because that is poisonous. And you don't want to send Darnell to the mill to be milled with your wheat. But as they're growing, the roots are so entwined with each other that even once it puts on that slate gray seed, you can't pull up the weeds without uprooting the wheat too, and you'll just lose all of your crop. So they have to be harvested together. And then the hand picking has to happen to remove the seeds of the weed from the wheat. Now, this is the second lesson of the parable. You can't tell the difference between the good and the bad plants until it is too late to pull the weeds without killing the wheat. Presbyterian pastor Dr. Mark Davis remarks about the seeds, "There have to be easier ways to destroy a crop than to plant weeds among them." Right? If you get mad at your neighbor, there has to be some easier way to destroy his crop than to go out in the middle of the night and plant some seeds. The evil act is not simple vandalism. It is an act of systematic imitation. It is systematic in that the root systems of the wheat and the weeds will intertwine to the point that you can't pull it up without pulling up both. It's imitative in the weeds will also take root and grow just like the wheat. The enemy operates by very deliberately cultivating something that looks and acts very much like what is good. The enemy operates by deliberately cultivating something that acts and looks very much like what is good. And so we have to let them grow together. Tom Long says that the parable presents the realities of the church. There are weeds as well as wheat in the pews. The church is like the field in the parable, he says. Weeds are entangled in the wheat. Good and evil are mixed up together. What does the parable say about this situation? It assures us that this is not the way that God wants it to be, nor will it always be this way. But for now, we wait. For now, God waits patiently. Why? I can't imagine that it's because God looks out at his field and likes seeing all those weeds sitting in the pews. Right? I don't think that it's that God doesn't have judgment for the evil in this world. It's that to fail to be patient will mean that some of the good wheat will be uprooted as well. And God won't do that, nor should we. That's the hard part of the parable to hear for me. It takes us out of our comfort zone to leave wrong alone, to leave people who we see are not doing God's will, not living with God's grace in the church. Presbyterian pastor Joanna Adams asks, "Do you ever think your church would be better off without those other people who are so wrong-headed and argumentative and with whom you vigorously disagree about important matters?" You ever think that? You don't have to raise your hand if you do. It's okay. But sometimes we do think, "Boy, you know, she's really wrong," don't we? And sometimes we've known people who have decided to not be part of a fellowship because it's just not what they believe is right. But on a vastly greater scale and more serious scale, we have extremists all over the world today who believe that they have a mandate from their God literally to destroy those whom they deem to see as enemies of God. Surely, the Christian church, in a world so polarized and filled with terror because of religious extremism, surely Christ's people have a special responsibility to bear witness to a better way. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once put it this way: God's purpose is not wrathful judgment. God's purpose is redemption, and the road to redemption is by way of reconciliation. Only in that day will the world finally be saved. Today's parable warns us against relying on our own human capacity to fully know the mind of God. It also suggests that we might appear to be good and pure, and what appears to be good and pure to us, but we might not be, and it might not be. Because the truth is that there are weeds that grow up in and amongst our own hearts. And finally, the parable instructs us to be patient and to let God be the judge. Because in the end, the wheat and the tares will be separated, and there will come good from the weeds. That's good news, even though it's really hard for us to hear. Because it is easy for us to point to the weeds in the field out there, isn't it? Have you ever seen any weeds in the field? I bet you have. It's even fairly simple for us to find some weeds here in our church family and, be careful, in our own personal families. And sometimes, if we look closely enough, we might even recognize some weeds growing in us. And they won't be separated out until the wheat is fully grown and ready to be harvested. And when they are separated, what happens? The weeds get used for fuel. Now, Jesus' hearers would have heard this differently than we do. We hear a fire and we think hell and damnation, don't we? But in an arid Palestine, where there aren't trees, the best thing that grows is some scrub brush and some succulents. It's pretty hard to find things to burn for fuel. The evil in the world will not be for nothing. It serves as fuel for God's kingdom. God uses it for us to have energy. So what do we do? If we're to let the weeds grow with the wheat, do we just let it be? Reverend Dr. Jim Somerville tells about what his congregation did. He asked them about adopting a policy of weed pulling. He says, what if we drew a little circle around our town here in North Carolina? What if we just drew a circle right around our town? And we made a vow that no evil was going to cross that line. No weeds are going to grow within our borders. How about? Let's just create that. He said, you know, you and I could spend the rest of our lives protecting that boundary, right? Can you imagine if we drew a circle around Germantown and we said we were not going to allow any evil to happen in Germantown? We would spend the rest of our lives trying to protect that boundary, wouldn't we? Yep. He says we could stand shoulder to shoulder with pitchforks and clubs, making sure that we kept drugs and alcohol and pornography and gambling safely on the other side of that line. He said, I think it would take all of our energy and most of our time. But what if we did it? Can you imagine? What if we did it? What if we succeeded? What would we have then? we would have a town characterized by the absence of evil. But we would not have a town characterized by the presence of good. And there's a difference. Maybe that's what Jesus is talking about all along. It's better to have a wheat field with some weeds in it than no wheat at all. And so that church began a children's ministry in a trailer park there in town. And they had to decide what kind of children's ministry it would be. They could choose to root out all the sources of evil in that place, to chase down all the drug dealers and the deadbeat dads, and to confiscate the handguns and arrest the child abusers. But they decided instead to put up a basketball goal and to go and tell stories from the Bible and to put their arms around little children, to sing songs about Jesus. And 2 years after they started that ministry, 2 years of going out there every Sunday afternoon, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, to do those things, they got a note in the mail at the church. 5 words. Adrian wants to be baptized. Adrian. You got to know Adrian. Adrian was the terror of the trailer park. She was the little girl that had made their work the hardest for 2 years. Who would have guessed? Instead of pulling weeds in the field where Adrian lived, they just tried hard to be wheat right next to her. And somehow Adrian saw that and fell in love with it and wanted it for herself. And after she was baptized, there was a little more wheat in that field. And because she was there, soon there was even more. The world is full of weeds. But the good news is it's also full of wheat. As the workers who are left in the field, it is not our job to decide what is worth growing and what is not. It is our job to lovingly tend all the plants as though they are wheat. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Amen.